Father, we thank you for your presence with us by your Spirit this afternoon. Lord, we're such privileged people. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to be radical. I'm not ashamed to shout it out from the rooftops because God has done so much for me. Lord, I can never be ashamed of you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He puts such fire in your belly. If you haven't got fire in your belly, there's something wrong. You need to get excited with Jesus. And it's good because if the congregation respond with me, you will draw out of me by the same Spirit what God has given for today. So if you want the best, draw it out of me. Encourage me, all right? Amen. It's not about me, it's about the body ministering. It comes two ways. So let it come two ways today and don't be afraid because the Spirit of God wants to minister to us. I've named the word for today, overcoming giants. How many of you have got a giant that you face? Well, I'm talking today about the greatest giant killer of all. No, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm looking at Numbers 13 initially. As always, I wasn't sure what to speak on, but as I reflected and reflected, it became very obvious that this was the passage of Scripture that was the starting point for today. Numbers 13. In this chapter, God has instructed Moses to send out men to scout out the land of promise, which was the land of Canaan. And when he did so, Moses already knew, because God had previously said to him in Exodus, well, he said, I'm giving you, the people of Israel, this land. I am giving you this land. That's an absolute truth. Can't be argued with. I am said, I am doing it. And it's a concrete promise from God. I will give you this land. God alone was going to do it. You just follow me, as we're always saying, follow me. But I've got the plan and I'm going to do the work. You just follow me. And earlier in Exodus 3 and verse 14, God declared to Moses who he is. He said, I am who I am. I am everything you need. Woo! What do you need today? He is the I am over your situation. We'll look at, we'll go from verse 26. They went to scout out the land. And this is the spies coming back, and this is their report. I'm reading from the message. I'm going verses 26 to 29. They presented themselves before Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation of the people. They reported to the whole congregation and showed them the fruit of the land when they told the story of their trip. This fruit, it says in an earlier verse, yeah, they cut down one single cluster of grapes and it took two men to sling it on a pole, with the pole going to the second man from the first man, and the grapes were hung to the floor on the pole. Can you imagine? A cluster of grapes, so tall, they were as nearly as tall as me, or probably taller than me. That's our God of abundance. That's how much God wants to give to you. That's how full he is of love towards you. He wants to give you over and above what you can ask or imagine. And this was the fruit from the land. And they said in verse 27, we went to the land to which you sent us, and oh, it flows with milk and honey. Just look at this fruit. The only thing is, the people who live there are fierce. The cities are huge and they're well fortified. Worse yet, we saw descendants of the great giant Anak. Amalekites are spread out in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites hold the hill country, and the Canaanites are established on the Mediterranean Sea and all along the Jordan. Oh, what a report. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But they were really focused on the bad and the ugly. It wasn't about the good. And I just want us to look quickly at the names of these enemies that occupied Canaan. I'm going to quickly just tell you what the meaning of their names is and the influence that they had on the people that they ruled. Anak, they were giants. And I reckon they were all Goliath-sized giants, don't you? He came from Gath, didn't he? I don't know if he was of the family of the Anakites, but anyway, Anak. They were descendants of the Nephilim, and they were pre-creation, pre-Adam and Eve. And the Nephilim were on the land, and they were actually angelic beings. They were huge, and the Nephilim were descendants of these huge angels and men. They lived in Hebron and in the Judean hills. They lived in the high places. What does that tell you? Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Where? In the high places. Where's the high places? As a man thinks, so is he. That's where all the battle goes on here. Did God say, is it? Oh, the questions. The next giants were the Amalekites. Their name means atheism, or the rejection of God. And God vowed to wipe every one of them from the face of the earth. Amalek represents the pinnacle of evil. He cynically scoffs at every reason to do good, sowing doubt and confusion. Just a minute. Do you reckon he's still alive? I think he lives in our nation. The Hittites, one who is broken, one who fears. The Hittites brought fear, intimidation, brokenness, and defeat. What a nasty lot. The Jebusites, the name means the trampled place, crushing. How many of you have ever been crushed by a situation that the enemy brought against you? I think we can all put our hands up there. The Amorites, the bitter rebel and babbler. Bitterness, rebellion, and they speak nonsense. Do you think they're around today? I do. I listen to some of the stuff on the news and I'm shouting my head off I think you're talking absolute nonsense, nonsense, nonsense. And the whole nation is full of rebellion and bitterness, resentment. And lastly, the Canaanites. The Canaanites were traders, they were merchants. And it says their name means to be brought down by a heavy load. Now, what does money do? Have you ever heard a rich person say that it's a huge burden to have a lot of money? I have. It weighs really heavily on them, the responsibility. And they can never trust anybody. Is it me they like, or is it my money? Are they after me or my money? They're never sure of a solid friendship. Canaan was the son of Ham, one of the three sons of Noah that went into the ark. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And as we all know, Canaan committed an indecent act and took advantage of Noah. And when Noah realized what he'd done, he said this. He said, "Cursed be you, Canaan. You will be a servant of servants to your brothers, Shem and Japheth." And there we have immediately the battle of the ages, good against evil. And it's still going on today. It says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Money brings slavery, and it's utterly, utterly destructive. The world says it's money that makes the world go round. No, no, no. The world can't tell the truth, can they? Ah, rubbish. It's their God. Never, ever let it be ours. Never, never go after, running after money. I tell you, trust God and he'll bless you all the way. He'll make you rich, richer than you could ever be by chasing money. All of these nations were powerful and dominant. They were formidable opponents, and their cities were large and well fortified. You know, the devil masks about being really big. He goes around pretending that he's a roaring lion. But who's taking his teeth out? Jesus. He's taking his teeth out. He can only gum at you, so don't let him do that. Put him in his place. All of them were intimidated and generated negative emotions to the natural man. And they were all, actually, although they all had different names, they were all descendants of Canaan. They were all Canaanites. And they're still very much alive today. In verse 30, after the ten spies had gone and given their negative report, there were two of those spies who were spiritual men, and they knew their God. And one of them was Caleb. We've got a Caleb here. And by golly, is he an encouragement. And God has raised him up from impossible situations. He's a miracle. Tracy's a walking miracle. Good gracious me, our God is a miracle-working God. It says in verse 30 in my Bible, Caleb interrupted, and he called for silence before Moses and said, "Let's go up and take the land. We can do it now." They were full of faith, both Joshua and Caleb. They wanted to go now and take this land. He said, "Let's go up and possess it, for we're well able to overcome." What had kept Joshua and Caleb strong in faith? They knew God. They knew God had brought them to this place, and God would defeat every enemy that stood against them, and that they would take possession of the promised land, no matter how impossible it looked. And I've got to say, we know how they feel, because well over 30 years ago, God gave us a promise for this building. He actually spiritually showed us the building and described it to us, the prophet did in America. And we came home and we looked and we looked and we looked. And for 25 years, it did not materialise. We couldn't find it. And after 25 years, God gave us this building. And he said, this is the promise. God fought for us. God's word always comes up true. No matter what the devil says, no matter how he lies to you, no matter how he tries to goad you or tell you it can't happen, don't say that with God. He is the God of the impossible. And he will do what he said he will do. Don't ever doubt him. In verse 31 to 33, the 10 other spies were full of fear. They said, we can't attack these people. They're way stronger than we are. They spread scary rumors among the people of Israel. They said, we scouted out the land from one end to the other. It's a land that swallows people whole. We saw this huge, everybody we saw was huge. Why, we even saw the Nephilim giants, the Anak giants that came from Nephilim. Alongside them, we felt like grasshoppers. And they looked down on us as if we were grasshoppers. As a man thinks, so is he. If you can't see a great, big, wonderful God, and the whole of heaven is at your disposal, and that God is faithful, he is the I am, he does what he said he will do, then you will feel like a grasshopper. And the devil will make mileage, because he will bring all sorts of stuff across your path. And he will tell you God's not going to heal you. God's not going to protect you. God's not going to provide for you. Well, he's a liar and he's the father of lies. How can he tell the truth? So if something like that is being whispered in your ear, who's it from? The devil. Don't give him a second thought. Look at God. And if it's impossible, it's definitely God. And he's telling you to keep your hands off it. Just walk with me. Follow me. Do as I tell you to do. And you will possess the land. These people were fueled by fear and intimidation. Why? Because all their focus was centered on their enemies. They never gave one thought as to how God had miraculously brought them to this point. He'd taken them out of Egypt. He'd separated the waters of the Red Sea. If I'd have seen that, I think it would have sparked a bit of faith in me. What do you reckon, Anna? Eh? It certainly would. But all these people, all they could see was the negative. These people couldn't take possession of the land because of their slave mentality. They saw themselves as hopeless victims. They had the totally wrong perspective. We are not hopeless victims. Amen? You shout the victory every day, and you shout it louder and louder when it gets tougher and tougher. Andrew, I've said it before, but he always says that when you're drilling steel, the very, very last bit screams and shouts at you and resists you, and it gets harder and harder, and you have to push more and more and more. And all of a sudden, you're through. But if you give up at that very last point, you'll not get your breakthrough. He is the Lord of our breakthrough, and breakthrough we are going to have. Amen. He's given us this land. He will give us intake and beyond. He will fill it and to overflowing. We're already going to extend. God's on the move. Okay? Amen. Praise God. Today in the West, Christians are seemingly in the minority. Why? Wrong focus. We can't be in the minority because one with God is a majority. So there's no way we can be in the minority. It's not, don't look at numbers. Don't be interested in any of that. Look at God. He's the God of the impossible. To my way of thinking, at the minute, the church is blending. When something blends, it hides, doesn't it? So that I'm not here. If we stand out, we're a bit of a target. Does it bother you? No, me neither, because I'm not stood on my own, am I? God's with me all the way. And he's saying, don't you touch a hair of their head. And what did he say to... he said to Andrew one day when Andrew were praying. Andrew were really going for this demon he could see in front of him. And he was doing all sorts of stuff, and God said to him, kneel down! And he knelt down and he saw this huge hand come across, and it hit this demon, and it went rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. And God said, I couldn't do it while you were stood in the way. You know, he wants us to just back off, in the sense of don't get in the line of fire. God's going to do it. Just flow with him and trust him. Yeah, the church is hiding. It's either compromising or it's fashioning itself on the world, but it's saying, you can't see me because I'm hidden amongst all this stuff. But you know, Jesus said, don't hide your light under a bushel. Put it on a lampstand, for it gives light to the whole house. Don't hide your faith. Let your light shine. Never be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And Isaiah 60, I love Isaiah 60. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You're shining. Don't run and hide. Shine. That song, shine, Jesus, shine. Amen. In the Message, it says, Jerusalem, get out of bed. He's saying to the church, get out of bed. Wake up. Put your face in the sunlight. God's bright glory has risen for you. The whole earth is wrapped in darkness. Does this resonate? It does me. The whole world is wrapped in darkness. All the people are sunk in deep darkness. But God rises on you. His sunrise glory breaks over you. Nations will come to your light. Woo! We ought to shout that from the rooftops. Amen. I'm sure they can hear us outside. That's great. We're not popular at the moment. Why not? Because the whole world is wrapped in darkness. Good against evil, the battle of the ages, and still it rages. Still the church stands strong. Amen. We are triumphant. Never think otherwise. The devil might intimidate you and he might tell you, you're not going to come through this, but you are going to come through this, Jill. You certainly are going to come through this. No demon in hell's going to take you out. You're God's, and he has a great plan. Trust him. It's time for the light to shine. Why? Because light always overcomes darkness. Always remember that. That's why the devil hates us, because our light just eradicates him, puts him out, shows him for what he is. As Andrew said today, it's time for signs, wonders, and miracles. We've seen a few on our way, and there's lots more to come. Amen. There's a world out there ripe for the gospel. I took Charlie a walk yesterday. It was Saturday, wasn't it, yesterday? Was it Friday? No, it was Friday. I took him for a walk, and it took me all day to get him out. Not his fault, my fault. I was so busy, busy, busy. And Andrew was out. And eventually I thought, come on, Grace, for goodness sake, put everything down and get him out for his walk because he won't settle. So we went round the park and we came back. And as we were coming back, there's a little green area at the top of our road and a pathway through and lots of trees. Charlie loves that part. He runs here, there and everywhere, and sniffing and enjoying himself. And he was running around and I was walking through and a lady came towards me. She got a little dog and I said hello to her and she said hello to me and we stopped and had a chat. And she was an Irish lady and a very lovely lady. And as we were just talking, I shared the gospel with her. And she said this to me. She says, "Oh, my family are all born again, but not me." So she said, a parting comment to me was, "I intended coming out earlier in the day, but was delayed. Now I know why." I call her Brenda. Yes. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. So I told her where we lived and said, come and get a word for today. And that'll encourage her every day. Whether she does or not, I don't know. But nothing is lost with God, is it? I just want Anne, bless her heart, at this point. We were in the prayer meeting on Thursday morning. It was rather a quiet session, but nonetheless sincere. And God spoke to her, and it's very appropriate for now. So, Anne, come and share what God said to you. There's a microphone here that's on. That one's on.
Yes, on Thursday, it was a lovely prayer meeting, very quiet and very strong. Then all of a sudden, I heard the most strong, powerful voice I have ever heard. It said to me, "I give my wisdom to whom I give my wisdom. I give my knowledge to whom I give my knowledge. Drink of my cup." I was speechless for a long time.
She was.
All power and praise to God.
Amen. Oops. I think that's the first time Anne had heard such clarity from God. And it bowled her over. And she didn't tell us for ages when we were in the back room having something to eat. We were all bursting at the seams when she told us how God had so clearly spoken to her. Drink from my cup. That's what God's saying to every one of us. Drink from my cup. It's time to be in the house of God at every opportunity. We don't come to get our card marked, do we? We don't come to be religious. We come to drink in the word of God, to listen to the Spirit of God, to worship. I love to worship. Really sets the scene. And I thank God that he brought Rob and Tabs to us. Because when the enemy, well, whatever reason, when our more or less strong musician left, we thought, what we're going to do now, Andrew's doing everything, and he does a brilliant job, bless his heart, and has done it faithfully for so, so many years. But it seemed somewhat intimidating that he would be back on his own again with everything else that was dropped in his lap. But God is faithful. And God had a man and a wonderful wife, and he said, "This way, young man, this way." Young man. Yeah, he's a young man. I'm a young lady. Joel. I mean, come on, look at Caleb. He says, give me that mountain. How old was he? 84. Give me that mountain. I want the high places. Don't you think you're old?
You know, Rob met, reconnected with us during lockdown.
Yeah, he did.
On Zoom meetings.
Mm.
And we met on Zoom. And after he'd been to two or three Bible studies on Zoom, I said, the Lord's bringing him to Harvest Fields.
Amen.
But I never asked him.
No.
And I never spoke to him about it. Mm. I just handed it back to God and said, Lord, thy will be done. Mm. And I never approached him, never even suggested that they would come to us, and left it in the hands of God.
Mm.
And we pray, Lord, bring those to us that should be in fellowship.
Amen.
And Lord, keep away those that will not be walking in step with us.
Yeah.
And we pray that God will continue to add to our numbers, and that as a church, we should be the light in this area.
Mm.
And we shall be a church of power and authority.
Amen.
That the word of God will continue to flow, and that signs and wonders will continue to flow.
Mm.
And that we will be bringing him the great big harvest.
Amen.
As you know, I said when Grace talked about that, those grapes. Can you imagine somebody coming to hospital and said, I've brought you a bunch of grapes?
Mm.
Mm. Praise God.
God of abundance, he truly is. We meet together to give out and draw from one another, body ministry. And it's all by the Spirit of God, the same Spirit working in all of us. You've got something to share when you come. Listen to the Spirit of God and he'll tell you when to speak. I like Psalm 92. I won't find Psalms in Proverbs, will I? Psalm 92, 10 to 14. But you have made me as strong as a charging bison. You've honoured me with a festive parade. The sight of my critics going down is still fresh. The rout of my malicious detractors, whatever that means. My ears are filled with a sound of promise. I've got my ears filled with the sound of promise, as have you. Does that promise ring stronger than all the doubt the devil wants to throw at you? It certainly does me. Amen. My ears are filled with the sound of promise. Good people will prosper like palm trees. They will grow tall like Lebanon cedars. Listen to the next line. Transplanted in the courtyards of God. They grow tall in the presence of God. They are lithe and green, still in old age. Amen. Woo! Praise God. I love it. Don't ever give the devil an inch. That's why Joshua and Caleb were full of faith and remained faithful for another 40 years, so that they could inspire the next generation and lead them to take possession of the land.
Yes.
Ken gave a fabulous sermon on the next generation taking the land. And I believe every word he said, but it sloughed me a bit, because I thought, I'm not the next generation, I'm this generation. And then when I read this week, I thought, yes, 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 Joshua and Caleb. They took them in. They made a way. They taught the next generation. They inspired the next generation. Come on, folks. We have a great message to give. Amen? Praise God, we certainly do. Today we're under a better covenant, as we've already heard. We're under a covenant that Jesus did everything for us. And I am in him, and he is in me. So everything he achieved, I've got. Okay? It's mine, because he bought it for me, and I'm in him. I've got his righteousness. I'm not a sinner. I'm righteous. I'm not something the cat dragged in. I'm righteous. His provision I've got. I've got his peace. Some days, yes. I've got his health. I've got his grace. Oh, wow, I need it. Amen. I've got his protection. I've got his guidance. I've got his continual presence. He's in me. And I'm in him. It's finished. He's done it all. It's an absolute truth. The devil can't argue against it because it's the truth. And it's set us free. And we know that we know that we know who we are. And no demon in hell can talk me out of it because he's under my feet. Amen. This is, oh yeah, and I just didn't say it. It's not about my performance. It's about his performance. I'm in him. When he did it, I was there. So it's not about me. It's about him. Immediately the Israelites left Egypt, having witnessed the parting of the Red Sea and being brought safely to dry ground, doubt creeps in. Doubt is Amalek, the first enemy that ever came to them when they left Egypt. And doubt came in. In Exodus 17 and verse 7, it said, Amalek came and fought with Israel. Amalek means doubt. How often does Amalek come and fight with us? It does. It does, Tabs. It comes frequently. But let me tell you this. Every time it tries to put doubt in you, and you stand on the word of God, and then you get victory, you think, oh, well, devil, try it again, because all I'm doing is coming out stronger out of every trial. My faith is being built. Now, what does doubt say? Is God with me? Are we on the right path? Will he do what he said? Am I good enough? Will he forgive me? Am I worthy enough? Am I holy enough? Will he heal me? Will he provide? The answer to every one of them is yes, yes, yes. Yes, he's already done it. Praise God. The Amalekites are described in the Torah as our perpetual, ultimate enemy. Our perpetual, ultimate enemy. He never gives up, does he? Never quits, but just makes us stronger. The numerical value of the Hebrew letters that spell Amalek is 240. And that is exactly the same value as the Hebrew word for doubt, which is Safek, S-A-F-E-K. Every time God gives a promise, the devil comes along with his ultimate weapon. Did God say? Come on, you've all got to remember in the Garden of Eden, the slimy snake crawled in and said to Eve, did God say? That's all he said. And he conned Eve, who conned Adam, who, well, just submitted, didn't he? He just fell for it. And hence the whole of mankind was brought down in sin. But the good news is it didn't take God by surprise. He knew all about it before it happened. And he had a plan. And he has a plan for you. So don't ever say, this is not going to happen. It is going to happen. God will do it. He said in his word, he will do it. And he will do it. Don't doubt him. Doubt destroys faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. James 1 says, he who doubts will receive nothing from God. How do we stop doubt knocking us off our path? By continually building our faith. We have all been given the same measure of faith. But as Andrew has said many times, it's like a muscle. The more we use it, the stronger it becomes. If we don't use it, we lose it. Come on, folks. Get that training in every day. Build your muscle of faith, and it will get stronger and stronger and stronger. And the devil will get weaker and weaker and weaker. And he'll do everything he can to stop you. Don't let him. Make it a priority. And you'll be strong. And he'll be out. If you want to be encouraged, read Hebrews 11. By faith. Goodness me, how many mighty exploits were done in Hebrews 11. They really, really, really put you on the mountaintop when you read what these people did. We've got to keep our eyes on God. And on his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Don't focus on the natural. You know, we could, you look around and you say, God, we're mostly senior citizens. And God says, so? Well, we're mostly senior citizens. So? It doesn't mean a thing to God. This is what you see in the natural. All God requires is 1 Joshua 1 and verse 9. Verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of God, God spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Get going. Cross this Jordan River, you and all the people. Cross to the country that I'm giving to the people of Israel. I'm giving you every square inch of the land you set your foot on, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon and to the Great Sea, the Euphrates River, all the Hittite country, and then west to the Great Sea. It's all yours. All your life, no one will be able to hold out against you. In the same way I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will never give up on you. I will never leave you. Strength, courage. You are going to lead this people to inherit the land that I promised to give to their ancestors. Give it everything you've got, heart, soul, and mind. Make sure you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded you, every bit of it. Don't get off track, either left or right, so as to make sure you get to where you're going. And don't for a minute let this book of the revelation out of your mind. Ponder it and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get to where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Haven't I commanded you? Strength, courage, don't be timid, don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step that you take. Woo! Come on, folks. Give him a clap. Give him a cheer. Woo! Amen. Amen. know, it takes seasoned believers who've been through the fire. Have you been through the fire? You have, Tracy. Have you been through the water? It's those who know their God. They know that God will bring them to that place of abundance. David knows his God. He was not intimidated by what the devil said to him. Not a word. I'm God's. Not to do with you, devil. I'm God's. And so he pursued. Joshua and Caleb were spiritual fathers. Spiritual fathers are full of wisdom, experience, and passion. We need them in our churches. We're blessed. We've got an abundance of them. We're blessed. And God will send the youngsters in that know not. And it's up to us to show them, lead them. Bye-bye, darling. It's been great to see you. Come again. I've nearly done. If spiritual fathers are essential, but you know, often we find in churches, all the young ones want to do is kick their heels up and shout and dance in a black church, I think. A dark, dark church. And in fact, we knew of one, didn't we, where they said they didn't want anybody over 60 on the platform preaching. What a load of garbage. Yeah. Woo! David knows one. They said they don't want, oh dear. Anybody over 35? You're old at 35 then. Oh, how foolish, how foolish. You need the senior generation. The fathers, the mothers. You need us all. Amen. And the third thing is stay in fellowship with one another. Pull together. What we've been hearing just recently, together we're stronger, are we? Yes. Amen, together we're stronger. In Exodus 17, here's an example, verses 11 to 14, it said, in their fight against Amalek, when Moses would raise his hands, the Israelites would be winning. When he dropped his hands, Amalek would gain power. Eventually, Aaron and Hur came up alongside Moses and held his arms up for him when he grew weak. And what happened? The Israelites won. Amen. We need men, strong men, mighty men to come alongside. Men of wisdom, knowledge, experience will prop our arms up sometimes. And together, we shall be stronger. God brings alongside us, and I thank him that he's doing that. He's bringing alongside us and has in the past brought people alongside who have caught the vision and shared the load, who've encouraged, who've interceded, who've worshipped. He's bringing teachers, those with practical skills, bless you, Andrew, and all the Israelites. It says, in those with all manner of gifts, natural and spiritual, to bring us to the promised land. He will do it. We will go. We will take this land as God has promised us. Together, we're stronger. Unity, all doing our part, keeping our eyes on the one who is faithful, who will also do it. He's doing it, not us. He promised. He does it. He can't fail. He's given his word. Amen. And my last prayer is this, Lord, let those of us who have stood strong over many years have the privilege of seeing the promise fulfilled in harvest fields, alongside the younger generation who will then take the baton and continue running with it. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God.